Wednesday, the 29th of October, Hey Cheshvan, Rabbi Aaron Springer, the Chazon Ish on Apikorsim Bizman Hazeh.
The sugya of apikorsim and various other unflattering names that have been given in the Gemara, there are various names in the Gemara, bothly halachically, there are various stages, and as throughout the long and difficult history that Klal Yisrael has gone through, the non-Jews, the Goyim, have meddled in our Gemara, and especially those parts which they felt were referring to them, they meddled with it and censored it and changed it around. So we have various titles in the Gemara. One is called, it's called a Min, or he can be called a Mummer, or it can be called a Tzidoiki, or it can be called an Akum. Now this often leads to great confusion, and the overall Klal, the overall rule is that Tzidoiki and Akum were new words generated by the Chachmei Yisrael in order to disguise the fact that we're talking about an apikoros. This was in order to confuse the censor. That before one starts, one has to preface. One of the Taryag mitzvahs is V'ahavto l'reacha kamoicha. A Yid is mechuyev to love every single other Yid. It's a mitzvah to oraisa, just like putting on tefillin and just like eating matzah. If someone considers himself a frum Jew, I'm a frum Yid. I keep the Torah. My neighbor, I can't stand. My colleague, better not talk about him. He's in serious trouble. It's a mitzvah d'oraisa. As Rav Dessler famously once said, when he was asked, what does sinas chinon mean? Who's ever seen a person hate somebody chinom for nothing, for no reason? I've never met such an individual on the world. I hate him because he stands on my place in shul, and I hate him because he always talks louder than me and tries to undercut me, and all other host and list of grievances. Says Rav Dessler, I'll give you the translation of sinas chinom. Sinas chinom means hating and disliking another Yid for any reason in the world. That's sinas chinom. That, according to the Torah, means for no reason at all. You have no right to dislike another Yid. It wasn't given in your jurisdiction. You have a chiv to like him and love him and help him. Chesed is a mitzvah d'oraisa, or it's a mitzvah before d'oraisa. Mahu rachum, it says in the Torah, just like the Ribbono Shel Olam is rachum, is compassionate, so you be compassionate. Mahu chanon, just like he gives, chanon means free gifts, so you give free gifts. That's what it says in the Torah. And the Reb Chaim Vital, the Talmud of the Arizal, was asked, so why isn't it a mitzvah to oraisa? Why isn't it one of the mitzvahs? His answer is, this is Derech Eretz Kodma LaTorah. These things build a person in order to be a mensch that he can keep the Torah. So, both having the mitzvah in one's heart, loving the whole of Klal Yisrael, and helping all of Klal Yisrael, is either one of the mitzvahs, or it's a preface, it's before the mitzvahs. And no yid has right to absentify himself from these mitzvahs. But, which is a big but, the Gemara asks in Bava Metzia, Soine, how is it possible for a Jew to hate another Jew? Answers the Gemara, D'ro'o bei d'var aveira. He saw him doing an aveira. That is a justification for hating someone.
But don't cuff the horse.
And that hating someone because he's done an aveira has opened up a whole new minefield and a whole area of possibilities. And just like one wouldn't be allowed to use a power saw or a pneumatic drill without carefully reading and studying the instruction manual, we may not avail ourselves of this halacha of it's permitted to hate another Jew without studying the instruction manual, which is the Torah HaKdoshe, the Gemara. The time in this year will probably not permit an exhaustive going through of each of the relevant halachas. We'll try to cover a bit of ground. So, the Gemara about hating another Jew is referring to when one sees him doing an aveira. As the gentleman pointed out, one is mechuyev to be dan lekaf zechus. Now, the rule of thumb in dan lekaf zechus is like this. If this person is renowned as a tzaddik, in today's parlance, a choshev yid, who always keeps the halacha, then we are supposed to give him the benefit of the doubt. By and beyond, far and beyond, that is, even if it seems quite unlikely, we have to stretch our imagination. This is a choshev yid. He must have had a reason. We don't know it. I mean, if there is absolutely no justification we can tell ourselves, then we are allowed to hate him. Such as if a yid is a choshev yid and does an extremely unlikely step of one of the three averas that is impossible to do, such as he enters a place of worship and prostrates himself, which is something that there is no justification to do, because even if he's under pain of death, he has no right to do such a thing. Then we have no justification. The mind doesn't stretch to any justification. And even though, as has been pointed out, we have to be dan lekaf zechus, that means, dan lekaf zechus means we have to judge, but judge means we have to use our common sense and stretch it and try. But if we have nothing to pin ourselves on, we see no reason for a choshev yid to prostrate himself. We have no heter for it. Then we obviously have to write him off very sorrowfully. It seems that his yetzahara has overcome him. The yetzahara, no man is immune from the yetzahara. No person is immune from the yetzahara. Someone just showed me yesterday that the Noach specifically asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to first write on him your tzaddik tomim at the beginning of the parasha last week. Tzaddik tomim, a complete tzaddik. And Noach said, and Noach, when he came out of the teva, some slight digression happened. So Noach asked the Ribbono Shloilem, put into the Torah, tzaddik, I've gone down. Why? Why does the whole world have to know? That the whole world should know that even a tzaddik tomim, someone who the Eivishter, the Ribbono Shloilem, gave edus on him, that he's a tzaddik tomim, that he's a tzaddik tomim, can also have a yetzara, can also fall. That's what Noach wanted. Nobody is immune. But if someone is not a middle Jew, a normal Yid, not the Choshev Yid, a normal Yid, we also have to give him the doubt 50-50 of the time. And giving someone the benefit of the doubt, such as we said, being dan lekaf zchus, does not stretch to making to actually becoming a fool. That is, if one sees a normal Yid, a regular mispalel of our shul, normal person, he sometimes talks in the middle of davening, he's normal, like the regular Klal Yisrael leider. And we see him on a Shabbos morning, suddenly, stealthily climbing out of someone's window with a small bag in his hand. When everyone's in shul, suddenly we see him slightly creeping out. So, there could be two schools of thought. One person would say, probably he had some pikuach nefesh story, and he had some medicines which were hidden dafke in this neighbor's closet, and he had no way to get it other than crawling through the window, and it had to be Shabbos morning when nobody was home, and he had to save his life on Shabbos morning. Or the other option is, probably his Yetzirah overcome him, there was some valuables to steal then, and this was the best time to do it. The halacha says, as everyone will understand, to say that this was a pikuach nefesh and it just had to be unpunked and he had to do it on such a oifen and it was all totally within the law is extremely and thoroughly far-fetched. A person is not supposed to throw away his mind and just to judge another Jew favorably. It has to be within the reasonable realms of logic. And even less if a Yid is not known to be amongst our Heimische Yidden, and we do see him doing something which is a known Isser. Now, the whole Torah is all, it says in Pirkei Avos, Hevei Zohir b'mitzvah kala k'vachamura. There's light mitzvahs which have a small onus, Malkus. Malchus isn't that such of a small oinish. None of us would want to get 40 lashes from a strong shliach beis din. But that's called a small aveira. And there are chomodig aveiras of kores and misa. And the beginning of Pashas Ekev, mitzvahs che'odom doshpa akevov. Small mitzvahs. In the Torah there are no small mitzvahs and big mitzvahs. Whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam commanded us is all applicable and big mitzvahs, and we have to keep them all. But there is a difference. There are mitzvahs, the Chofetz Chaim, in his beautiful language, explains it so eloquently. Mitzvahs that are yodua isurum leklal Yisrael. And mitzvahs that are not yodua isurum leklal Yisrael. This is eating something non-kosher is yodua isurei. Everybody knows it. It's the status, it's the sign of a person, a kosher Jew or a non-kosher Jew. So if we see a Jew and he goes into a non-kosher restaurant where they serve non-kosher meat, not meat without a hechsher, non-kosher, from an impure animal, or some kind of shrimp or shellfish, which everyone knows that that's not permitted. On that, we have to be dan lekaf zechus that he didn't have the upbringing that we had, and he didn't realize how bad it is, but he has still done an avera b'shoigig. We can't get away from the fact that he's done an avera. The act of an avera he's done, and it's a issa hayudua, everyone knows it. So, as the gentleman asked, we have to be dan lekaf zechus that only, not to write him off as a bad person. We have to dan for him and understand where he's coming from. But according to sinner, we are allowed, according to the strict Gemara, one would be permitted to hate him, at least not to love him. He has left the realm of Klal Yisrael and is considered Einoi Oise Maase Amcho. Is that he is not, even, of course, every Jew who's born from a Jewish mother is a Jew. But there's a category of, he doesn't do Maise Amcho, he doesn't do what Yidden do. And doing what Yidden do, and not doing what Yidden do, doesn't have with the severity of the Avira. It could be speaking Lashon Hara is more severe than eating a piece of shrimp. The Chofetz Chaim writes there are 31 lavin. It's extremely serious to speak Lashon Hara. But the matter being as it is, one doesn't become an Einoi Oise Maase Amcho. You don't become, it's not an Issa HaYodua LaKoil. It's not something that is established, this makes you an unfrom Jew. So even though it's a terrible thing to do, you still stay within the realm of Klal Yisrael. But if you do something that everyone knows is not supposed to be done, like as transgressing the Shabbos, or eating non-kosher, then you enter the realm of Einoi Oise Maase Amcha, and there are different dinim. I've digressed a bit. The Gemara, the first Gemara about Amin and Apikoris, is in Horius. There is a Machloikis. If someone, when is some, a mumma is a lesser, is not as bad as a mean. The difference between a mumma and a mean is that a mumma is still considered a yid. He can't do everything that all yidden can do, but he's still considered a yid. A mean is considered completely beyond the pale. What is a mumma and what is a min? The Rav Acha is extremely stringent. If someone does his averis letei ovein means, in plain English, because he wants to. Because he feels like it. He is considered a mumma. If he does it lehachis, I'm not sure the exact English translation of lehachis. In spiteful. Thank you. Dafke, he does it. Then he is considered a min. And Ravina is more lenient. And we paskin like Ravina. Even someone who does an avera lehachis, spiteful, is still a mumma. Only if he does a mumma la'avoida zora, he is over avoida zora, both spitefully and non-spitefully. Because in order to worship avoida zora, there is no te'ovin. One can't say, it doesn't make sense to say, I worship Avodah Zorah, I'm going to the church. Nowadays a church isn't Avodah Zorah, or whatever place of worship is considered Avodah Zorah, because I feel like it. Nobody feels like going to a Goyish place of worship. We don't have a Yetzer Hara for it. There is no material drive to go and be Oved Avodah Zarah. So if somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, has decided to renounce the Jewish faith and go over there, that is considered by all means you are doing something spiteful. You have some personal vendetta against the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you have crossed the pale. This is a relief for today's age. Most of the unfortunately non-religious Jews, they are not spiteful. They're doing what they feel like. They are leteovin. And leteovin, and furthermore, we have even had it lightened for us, because Ravina says that even lahachis, even spiteful, would be considered a mumma. But certainly most people nowadays are just doing it because they feel like it. And there would be a great difference. Is a non-religious Jew allowed to shecht for us? The Chazon Ish explains it beautifully. We see in one place, he may not. He's non-religious. He may not shecht for us. In another place, we see that he's perfectly allowed to do the shechita. It's a contradiction. The Chazon Ish says a beautiful answer, which explains, gives us light on the whole thing. Chazon Ish explains that a non-religious Jew loses his ne'emonus, his trust. Sorry. We can't trust him. That is, if he tells us, I did the shechita according to halachic law, we tell him, I'm sorry, you're a nice person, but halachically, you aren't trusted. So, unless we were there, we don't know. Being a shochet is an extremely, extremely delicate job. With a small nick of the knife, you could make an aveilah. You could make it. You are not trusted. To be trusted, you have to be a yid who is oisei maase amcho. You have to be part of the religious Jewish community. So, asks the Chazon Ish, but we do have a Gemara that he can shecht. Says the Chazon Ish, that Gemara is talking about Oymed al Gabov. We see from this Gemara that it's possible for someone to stand over a non-religious Jew or a cotton and check whether he's shechting correctly. I'm not sure if that technique is known to us nowadays, how a person can see, because shechting is an extremely delicate maneuver and has to be done properly, and the person has to feel it, the sheikhet. But it seems in the Gemara it is possible that someone can stand over him and see whether he's doing it correctly. Says the Chazon Ish, if someone is a mummer, is only an irreligious Jew, if someone reliable stands over him and checks that he's shechting okay, his shechita is okay. But if someone has gone beyond the pale and is oved avodah zarah, or is a mummer l'chol ha-Torah, for the whole Torah he doesn't keep, then it won't help someone standing over him. Then, even if all the Gedolei Yisrael stand over him, his shechita, all his behemoths will be treif. Why is that so? Because it's not that his technique isn't okay. He could be the best shechet in the world. He has a status of a non-Jew. That's how the Chazon Ish answers it. So in one place we see that an irreligious Jew can shecht, and in another place we see that he can't shecht, says the Chazon Ish. These are two different types. Where we say that an irreligious Jew can do shechita is when he's only an irreligious Jew and someone, his shecht, is standing over him and checks that he's doing it perfectly. Where it says that he can't do it is referring to a case where he is more than a religious Jew. He is doing things spitefully. Then it won't help anyone standing over him, since he has the status of a goy, and a goy can't shecht.
So you said before that halacha of the mumma lahachis, according to Ravina, is also
Right. Right. Thank you. Mumma lahachis. And I forgot to add, but, and there's another klal, mummer lechol ha-Torah kula. If someone is a mummer for everything, if someone, every single piece of Jewish law, he says, if it's Jewish, I'm not doing it. He has a din of Oved Avodah Zarah. Even if it's leteyov, and he said, I feel like it. But if it's for every aspect of Jewish law. Now, there is I would like to dispel a myth. There is... Sorry. There is a quotation bandied around in Eretz Yisrael that the Chazon Ish claimed that since the realization of secularism, lamentably, as we know it, all non-religious Jews are considered tinoikos shenishpu, which is a whole category in itself. We don't have time to go into it. And that has started in the past 50 years, 60 years, whenever that statement of the Chazon Ish is supposed to have been said. They are all tinoikos shenishpu. And tinoikos shenishpu means that they have no power to know anything. It's beyond their expectations. They are captured individuals. Since their parents force-fed them a diet of heresy, it's beyond their means. And whatever they do, they are considered part of the Jewish community. Now, I don't know whether the Chazon Ish ever said it or not. But what we have printed from the Chazon Ish in his Sefer, which is certainly totally reliable, I'll read it and then translate it. V'tinoik shenishpo bein ha'akum. Dinoik Yisrael ushchutose muteres. Shehu bechezkas sheim yodiuhu v'yishtadlu imoy kashir hishtadlus. Shehu roi lo shuv, lo yozid. Omnom acha shehishtadlu imoy v'hu meizid umamoyin lo shuv dinoy kemumur. V'shir hahishtadlus tolui lefi ha'isboinenes hadayonim kasha yofiu beruach kodshan ba'achraz dinoy. The Chazon Ish here writes, I'll give a free translation. It's not as blanket as this myth, as some very well-meaning people like to dispel, that every irreligious Jew is, on the past 50, 60, 100 years, has the din of a captured individual, as someone who was captured in his childhood amongst the non-Jews, and it's not possible for him to know anything about Judaism. The Chazon Ish does not say that. Maybe he said it, but he did not print it in his Sefer. In his Sefer, he writes, in order to get that status of a captured individual, the Dayonim of Klal Yisrael, the Gedolim, have to, with their Ruach Kodshom, with their Das Torah, with their knowledge, with their minds honed from years and years of Torah study and Kedusha, they have to judge on each individual. Is he part of that status of a captured individual, that it's not possible for him to know anything about Judaism? Or maybe, with all the publicity, with all the explosion of Haredi Jewry, he has already received a smattering and a knowledge of what a religious Jew is. And it depends on the Dayonim to judge each and each individual case. And it makes a great deal. How is what possible?
For the Dayanim to paskan on each and every, unfortunately, such Yidin.
The difference, I'll address your question. The difference would be, we have here got a blanket, if someone is a captured individual, then his wine is not Yayin Nesech, and his Shechita is Mutter. And he's considered a Jew according to all aspects. But since the Chazon Ish has told us that it's not a blanket heter, it has to be judged by a competent Rov and Odom God on each and every case. And as this gentleman has just pointed out, it's impossible. So, for all practical purposes, we always have to go L'chumra. Meaning, when it comes to he's stuck in a rut, he's in a terrible situation, we have to love him, and we have to help him, and we have to do our best. We have to treat him like a captured individual. We may not speak Lashon Hara about him, because he's a captured individual. But when it comes to other aspects, that he's touched our wine, or he wants to join us in a minyan, or he's actually shechted the behemoth, in those aspects, then we have to say, until the Rav has actually stood and knows your case in particular and has paskened that you are actually part of that club of Tinokas Chenishpo, we have to take on, we don't know. We're not here to pasken the whole of Klal Yisrael. As we say, the Klal Yisrael don't know. Again, pardon? We can, yes, we should. If someone is a non-practicing Jew, we have to try our best. We can't allow him to join a minyan until a Rav has come and quoted that I know that he's a Tinnik Shanish.
So you could say Kaddish for
Kaddish.